Yevamos, Perikei, Mishnah Aleph 5:1. Bit of an introduction to this perik. When a woman or women fall to Yibum to their brothers-in-law, so there's a Zika that exists, and the only two legitimate options are either Yibum or Chalitza, and that will be performed by one of the brothers to one of the wives. Everyone else who doesn't participate in the Yibum or Chalitza need not participate, they're free to go. And after the Yibum or Chalitza happens, so the Zika has been removed, and all the brothers who didn't perform Chalitza, for example, are free to marry all the other wives' relatives. The wives themselves, of course, forbidden, but the relatives are, their relatives are permitted. The one who does Chalitza, the Choletz, he remains forever forbidden to marry the relatives of the Chalutza, as we said in the previous perek, and that's a din de rabbanan, because it's as if he married and divorced her. And moreover, he's also forbidden from marrying, let's call, the chalutza. That's by force of a din de oraisa, learned from the pasuk that says, kach yas le'isha sher lo yivne es beis achiv. Part of the script they say when they do the chalitza is, thus is done to the man who will not, in the future sense, will not build up the household of his brother. And instead of saying who does not, it says will not, to teach you yivne, in the future he will not either. Which means that the choletz, the person who does chalitza, may never marry the person who accepted chalitza from him, even after the fact, by force of a doraisa. But as you saw in the previous parak, it's only a love. More than that, in truth, is that all the other brothers as well can't marry these women, also by force of love, the same love of Lo Yivne. Now, that being the case, those two options, Yibum or Chalitza, there's no business whatsoever in doing the normal acts that engage, create, or disengage, dissolve a marriage. So that would be Kiddushin, when you give a woman either something of value, kesef, or shtar, a marriage contract, and you say, harat mekudesh li b'tabat zu, you're going to be engaged, mekudeshes, to me through the accepting of this item of value, or the shtar, like a ring, and then she becomes an arusa, forbidden to everybody else. So that has no place in the setting of a zika with yibum, because it's as if Hashem already affected the kedushin. She's already forbidden to everybody else, the widow is, and she only has the options of marrying these brothers, so she's already a sort of half, if you will, muras to them, so to speak, by heaven, if you will, and therefore there's no application to erisin / kedushin, same thing, in the context of yibum. And similarly, there's certainly no application whatsoever to giving a get. A get has no business in the context of Yibum. The way you dissolve the Zika that is in the Yibum scenario is through Chalitza. So giving a get to a woman who's like a Shemeres Yavam waiting to do, you know, the widow, is meaningless. It's basically as meaningless as going to any woman in the street and saying, giving her a get. I mean, she's not your wife, so what do you give her a get for? The get has no impact whatsoever. Nevertheless, the rabbis said that since the Zika resembles a marriage in some sense, we're going to confer significance to the giving of a get as if it's like a partial chalitza, a partial dissolving of the Zika. So it has some weight. And similarly, they gave weight to giving kesef or star, like someone that resembles kedushin, and that's like a halfway to getting married, a halfway toward yibum. In fact, they prescribed this lecharchil. They said part of the yibum process should be that before doing the be'ila, the actually sleeping together, first should come an act that resembles kedushin, rabbinically, by giving her a ring or whatever, and formalizing this relationship, and they gave it its own special name. We've seen this before in the Masechta. The name is mimer. The word mimer is the analog to what a kedushin would be outside the context of yibum, since no kedushin is required in the context of yibum. It has a new name called mimer, so things shouldn't be confused. And we're treating the mimer as if it's like a partial marriage, okay? And the Chazal gave these things power, which means So the impact would be, if a person's, let's say for example, one of the brothers gives a ring, mimer, to one of the wives that their brother left over, the widows that are Shomeras Yavam, that are waiting for having Yibam done to them, so then that would sort of lock everybody else out. Since they're now like, I'll call it partially married, if you will, Yibam hasn't occurred, but once one of the brothers, let's say they're two brothers, Shimon and Levi, let's say they're two widows, the wives, Shomeras Yavam, they are Rachel and Leah. Once Shimon gives Rachel the ring and says, this is for Mimer, and she accepts it, so now the other brother, Levi, is locked out. He no longer can do Yibam with Leah. Everyone agrees to that. And if he would sleep with her, so then, although on a Do'oraisa level, that would be the Yibam act, because the Mimer has no effect on Do'oraisa, but Midrabban, the rabbis say, no, it's too late, and therefore we'd actually would force Levi to get divorced from Leah. And the way to do that, of course, would be with a get. So the point, the main point of our perek here, is that the rabbis are giving significance, legal halachic significance, to mimer and get, in the context of someone waiting to do yibum. It's only rabbinically significant. Midoraisa has no significance, and therefore a lot of confusing things can happen. Where if you do mimer or give a get prior to the chalitza or the yibum, so you have like things happening on two levels. On Doraisa level, nothing's happened, and therefore there's still a zika and needs resolution with chalitza or yibum. But on a Durabun level, now their options are limited. Certain people can't get married to others. Their options of, you know, yibum can't necessarily occur after you give the get. If you give the get, it's as if you're like sort of been divorced, married and divorced more, so therefore you're forever more forbidden to her relatives and so on. So there's consequences rabbinically to giving of a get or giving of a mimer in the context of a yibum, of a shemeras yavam, and so on. Okay. Now, what exactly are the consequences? Let me just sum up. They're really straightforward. Once a person gives mimer to the woman, so they're like they're half married, if you will, partially married. So now, even if he changes his mind and doesn't want to go through with the yibum, he wants to do chalitza, he'll not only have to do chalitza to end the zika, that's their doraisa, he'll also have to give her a get to dissolve the mimer, because that's analogous to kedushin. So she'll need both chalitza and get after mimer. Similarly, if one brother does mimer, it locks all the other brothers out, as if he's like half married to her, so the other ones can't get married, like I gave the example before. I'm repeating myself here, I know, but if after Reuven gives mimer to Rachel, excuse me, that was my example, three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Reuven dies, so after Shimon gives mimer to, let's say, Rachel, so then Levi, Midrabanan, can never marry Leah, even though Midoraisa is a zika. If Levi and Leah sleep together, although Midoraisa, that will be Yibam, Midrabanan is forbidden, and they're forced to get divorced, because of, with the get, of course, because of the power that the rabbis are giving to the mimer. Similarly with a get, even though, again, get has no place in this story, but the rabbis are treating it with some significance, because since they're sort of married on some level, because the zika, they have a partial marriage going, will give the get some significance in the context of Yibum, and there of a Shomeras Yavam, etc. And therefore, if one of the brothers, let's say Shimon, gives a get to one of the women who are waiting, let's say to Rachel, so then it's as if he has done a partial chalitza with her, and that being the case, the other brothers are locked out from doing chalitza or Yibum. It's not a full chalitza, so still he needs to do chalitza now with her in full to sever the Doraisa Zika, but the option of doing Yibum is no longer open to him. Since he's done a partial chalitza, he has to fall to the full chalitza, and he can't do Yibum, and if he would, afterwards sleep with this woman that he gave a get to, even though Midoraisa, that's Yibum, Midorabanan, we forbid the marriage, and we force them to get divorced, again, with a get. Okay. Now, that being the case, on the let's focus on the get part now. So instead of saying the get is like a partial chalitza, that will raise the question, how do we look at this partial chalitza? Do we look at it as a partial chalitza, which now sort of resolved the question of where the Zika's resolution is coming from? And therefore, if other brothers want to do, let's say a second brother now gives a get, Will we roll our eyes and say, listen, one get had no place, we're giving it some significance, but now we're partially done with the chalitza, the second get is meaningless altogether, it's the same as giving a get to some woman in the street, it has no significance? Or do we say, no, a partial get is got some rabbinic significance, but it's only a partial severance of the zika, and therefore other brothers can also give more getin and cause more confusion by also having more partial chalitza than those gets would also have halachic significance. So although everyone agrees that the rabbis are conferring significance to getin and kedushin, what we call mimer, in the context of yevamos, ol midr rabbanon, there's a machlokus, and this is how our Mishnah begins here, if a get or a mimer, while it has significance the first time, does it have enough significance now to sort of lock everyone else out and let the subsequent gittin or mimers have zero significance, which is the sheet of Rabban Gamliel? Or is the fact that since the get is only a partial chalitza, it doesn't lock people out, and you can give subsequent gittin, they'll have more partial chalitza significances, meaning more women now and their relatives become forbidden forever by virtue of the fact that each brother who gives a get to each of these Shomeras Yevamos, all these other widows, they forever become forbidden to those women's relatives by virtue of the fact that they're like as if they kind of divorced them after being kind of married to them. So that'll be the sheet of the Chachamim, and the Lach will be like the Chachamim. Okay, that's sort of the backstory. Now the Mishnah says inside. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Rabban Gamliel holds, Ein get achar get. He says, one of these men, the brothers, can give a get to one of these women, and that will have significance of being a partial severance, as if they did a partial chalitza, but that's it. One is all you get. The second, one is all you can have. The second brother to give a get to a second wife, one of the tzaros, the halacha rolls his eyes and say, no, that's totally insignificant, just as much as if he would give it to any woman in the street, because the partial chalitza is enough to stop anything further from happening. And similarly, v'lo mimer achar mimer. Once one of the brothers, let's say Shimon again, gives mimer, a ring, let's say, to one of the widows, let's say Rachel, so then that locks everything in place. The only person who could possibly get married here is Shimon to Rachel. But now Levi and Leah can never get married, midr rabbanon. And that's it, they're locked in place. And if Levi would give mimer now a ring to Leah, it would have no significance whatsoever, because one is enough, and now their sort of things are locked into place. Therefore, they would not be married, and they would not need a get afterwards. On those two points, we'll see the rabbis are disagreeing. Furthermore, it says Rabban Gamliel, "Velo be'ila achar be'ila." There's no significance to an act of intercourse a second time after a first time. Meaning, the first time that's good old yibum. But if, let's say now, Shimon does yibum with Rachel, and now let's say Levi now sleeps with Leah, we'll say, listen, the first act, that was Yibum, and now Shimon and Rachel can live happily ever after. But the second act, that was just a Be'ilas Znus, that was just forbidden activity. They're bad guys, and nothing's going to happen. Certainly, it's not going to marry them. They're just going to, if they're witnesses, they'll need to get lashes. Again, the Isser here is an Isser Do'oraisa of Lo Yivne. They can't get married after Yichalitz has happened there, so that's that. V'lo chalitza achar chalitza, and finally says Rabban Gamliel, also once one of the brothers gives chalitza to one of the widows, then a further act of chalitza has no significance whatsoever, because the game's over. Chalitza has severed all of the ties, and now it's like the second chalitza is just as significant as if you walked some woman in the street and gave her chalitza. Like, what does that do? Nothing. V'chacham Rabban, the Chacham disagree on the first two points. They'll agree on the second two points. They disagree on the first two points and say, yesh get achar get, yesh mimer achar mimer. They say, no, once the rabbis are giving significance to gittin and mimer, like kedushin, in the context of yevamos, so that means if two brothers, Shimon and Levi, give two gittin to these two widows, Rachel and Leah, both gittin will have some significance, meaning forevermore, both Shimon will be forbidden to Rachel's relatives, and Levi will forever be forbidden to Leah's relatives. Midoraisa, nothing's been resolved at all, and therefore one of the brothers needs to resolve the issue by doing a chalitza. None of them can do gittin anymore. Can they do yibim anymore? Because once you give a get, it's a partial chalitza, and therefore rabbinically we want to allow a yibim to happen. And if they try that, they'll be forced to separate with a get. The get will be a doraisa, but the forcing them is the forcing midrabbanan. Same goes with mimer. The first mimer has significance, so if Shimon gives a ring to Rachel, so then now they are half married, if you will. It's binding, and then they can continue on through with Yibum. But if now Levi also does mimer, let's say with Leah, say the Chachamim, that act will also have rabbinic significance, meaning they also need to get at least midrabanan. At least midrabanan need to get. Moreover, even after giving the second mimer, which is sort of meaningless, forevermore, the second person, let's say Levi, who gave the second mimer to, let's say, Leah, forever will be forbidden to her relatives if they were married and then divorced. However, the rabbis agree, aval, they agree with Rabban Gamliel, lo achar be'ila v'lo achar chalitza klum, that after you do chalitza or be'ila, you've resolved the zika, there's nothing more to talk about, and everyone goes their merry ways, and therefore, if after one of the brothers does be'ila, meaning yibum, or does chalitza, and sever the zika, no more yibums or chalitzas can happen, and therefore, if, let's say, Levi would do chalitza now with Leah after Shimon had done chalitza with Rachel, that chalitza is meaningless, meaning that Levi could still marry Leah's relatives. He can never marry anyways, because of the existing Surim Doraisa, but her relatives remain permitted. If, on the other hand, they did Be'ila, he slept with her, so that would have no significance whatsoever, and therefore, it would just be a Be'ila Snus, and, you know, an Isra Doraisa, but no way to effect, like, a Yibum through that act.